This edition of the Monocle Arts Review was first broadcast on the 15th of April 2015 on Monocle 24. Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Gillian DeBias. Today I'm joined by film critic Anna Smith to talk about some of this week's movie releases. We'll look at Toni Collette's performance as an alcoholic mother in Glassland. We prepare for a showdown in Danish-American Western, The Salvation. And we'll see how good Kate Winslet is at gardening in Alan Rickman's new drama, A Little Chaos. That's all to come here on the Arts Review on Monocle 24. Welcome to the show, Anna. Let's begin with A Little Chaos, a film which premiered at the Toronto Film Festival. It's directed by Alan Rickman. It stars Kate Winslet. Can you start by setting up the story for us?
Well, it's a period drama. It's set in the court of Louis XIV. Alan Rickman, of course, who else? The director plays Louis XIV. Kate Winslet plays a landscape gardener, an apprentice, if you will, to a rather grander landscape gardener played by Matthias Schoenaerts. Now, she is working class and she's an independent woman, a widow working for herself. So already we can tell this isn't exactly the Versailles we're used to seeing and probably isn't a very realistic Versailles. But this is a kind of a girl power Versailles, if you like, you know, with the woman doing her best to make it in a man's world. So it's all about the romance, the forbidden romance, which develops between the two landscape gardeners because one of them is married. And then, of course, Louis XIV kind of getting a little bit involved and thinking, what's this unusual scenario under my nose? So you have some kind of court antics and lots of very pretty gardening.
It's a period piece. Is it based on a true story or is it pure fiction?
Well, some of the characters are, of course, historically real. I mean, André Le Nôtre was the landscape gardener. They play around with some of the timelines. I think Louis XIV would have been much older at the time. And obviously Kate Winslet's character is complete fabrication. So it's working some real characters and some real scenarios, such as the gardens and the fountains that were created in Versailles, and then bringing in complete fantasy to it.
Alan Rickman is the director. What do you think interested him about this topic, about this story?
It's quite unusual, isn't it? Because, I don't know, you always have a perception of actors when they direct, thinking that they might do a certain type of thing. And the last one he did was A Winter Guest, which was over 20 years ago, and which was, again, quite female-focused. It was Phyllida Delaw, Emma Thompson, in a quite muted Scottish sort of character-driven drama, which I think was a bit more successful than this one. I'm not a huge fan of this one. It's a little bit plodding. Kate Winslet, though, of course, fantastic. I mean, she brings real authenticity as much as you possibly can to this role, and a really earnest sort of authentic touch. I liked her a lot.
Now, with the topic of landscape gardening, a gift for any cinematographer, must look beautiful, but I hear the dialogue is a little flowery, shall we say?
I think that's correct. Yes, it is definitely much more about the flowers, the costumes, the sense of presence, the sense of place, even though of course it was filmed in Britain, I believe. But the dialogue is pretty basic. It is simplistic romantic stuff, you know, the kind of heaving bosoms of, you know, a bygone era, you know, longing glances across the room. It's fairly corny, I have to say.
It was meant to be a romantic film. I hear, though, that the love is off screen. Is there any chemistry between the two main characters?
I have to say there isn't a great deal. I mean, Matthias Schoenaerts has been very good. He sort of rents a hunk in period dramas at the moment. He's coming up in Far From the Madding Crowd, in which I think he's actually much better. Here he feels miscast. He looks out of place, feels out of place in the period garb. And although Kate Winslet is obviously very charming, it feels like it's very scripted romance. It doesn't feel particularly real, no, sadly.
And we think way back to the classic A Draftsman Contract, you know, another sort of period piece set in a landscape garden. The potential for cinematography and trickery is wonderful. Does the cinematographer live up to this?
Only in part, I would say. Unfortunately, this is a low budget film and it does not have the budget that you'd like to see that kind of splendour on screen. There's a lot of beautiful colour and they work with what they've got very well, but it isn't one of those ones that blows you away visually, no.
Well, let's hear a little bit from the film. Here's the moment when Kate Winslet's character, Sabine Dabara, asks why she's been picked to design the garden.
The orchestra will be up here.
Orchestra? It's an outdoor ballroom.
There is a pool of builders. Select whatever supplies you care to. Commission whatever embellishments you think appropriate. Time is not unlimited. Here's the budget. Try not to exceed it.
Master? Why me?
These gardens should be large enough to embrace voices other than my own.
A Little Chaos rolls out in cinemas around the globe over the next 2 months. Now, let's move on to Glassland, a film very, very, very different. This is a raw Irish film that emerged at Sundance, I believe, this year. Quite harrowing film, is it not?
It is. It's definitely hard-hitting. It's one of those hard-hitting films which is hard to describe to people and make them want to go and see it, but you'll be glad that you did because it's so jolly good. Toni Collette stars as an alcoholic woman who is struggling with unknown demons at the beginning. We, you know, basically trying to decode this and work out what her main problem is. Also trying to decode everything is her son, played by Jack Rayner, very good Irish actor. And so she puts on a pretty good Irish accent, but what's most extraordinary, I think, is Toni Collette's performance in this as a woman who's struggling to control her drinking habit and failing, and her son has been given an ultimatum by the doctors. Basically, she's drinking herself to death, and if she doesn't stop soon, she will die. So he is trying. I know it sounds very, very grim, but what you have here and where it gets good is that you have a wonderfully touching mother-son relationship, which gradually develops as the two of them manage to spend time together, and as the son tries to get closer to her and tries to find ways of communicating with her.
Well, let's have a little sense of this. We're going to listen to an excerpt now. This is Toni Collette as Jean, and she's talking about her relationship with alcohol to her son, John.
The weird part is, you know, now people began to pity me. No one would return my calls. No one wanted to help. And I got a new friend. A silent friend. A friend that would never talk back to me or hurt me. A friend that was always there for me. And made things better. Even if it was just for a little while. I would go missing for days and no one would come looking for me. Only you, John. You always came looking for me. Even when you were a baby. Still do.
Quite harrowing there. Is there any redemption?
There is a glimmer of hope. I mean, without to give too much away, it is absolutely one of those ones that at least you don't come away completely miserable. You come away slightly quiet. And, you know, I think what there is to benefit from it is a lot of insight into alcoholism. And if you know anyone who's been affected, then it certainly makes you think. And it certainly feels very, very credible.
It poses a fundamental problem, really, about us all in our families is at what point do you give up on a family member? And it's a big dilemma. Does the main character battle with that?
I think that's a very good point. I think he is one of those characters who is determined to keep his mother with him at all costs, at potential personal great sacrifice, and that's what drives it forward. But you, as a viewer, are inclined to think, my goodness, well, this woman doesn't value her life to this extent. She is practically suicidal, and it is quite a dilemma that is presented, which is quite relatable, I think. Yeah, it's interesting.
It's the second film from this director, Irish director, made for a tiny budget. I think it's $500,000. Does the film punch above its weight?
It really does. Now, this is a great example of a film with a low budget that does really, really well. It was shot in the matter of a few weeks. I think they only had Toni Collette for 5 days, but you know, she agreed to do it, I'm sure, for much less than she would normally take because it's such a tremendous script. But really works. Strong characters, great dialogue. Ending I had some issues with without giving too much away. It might divide audiences, but I think it's worth it for the journey.
Now, the film is very desaturated, very realistic. But what about the sound? I gather there's no music and almost at times no sound at all.
It is one of those films that has a great deal of pause for thought, yes. I mean, it's certainly no zippy soundtrack here. No, I'm making it sound not very cheery, which it isn't. But it's thought-provoking. It gives you a lot of silence to think and to observe. I would compare it to films like Selfish Giant and Fish Tank and, you know, good, strong British or Irish dramas that really know how to pack a punch.
It is, you're mentioning a number of the small, low-budget British films. Is there an audience for this outside the borders here, do you think?
That's a good question. I think thanks to Toni Collette, thanks to her saying yes to this. And of course, Jack Rayner also appeared in Transformers, so he has a bit of a following there. Yeah, it may find an audience elsewhere, but I think it's certainly an art house audience. This is not something that is going to be a big box set blockbuster, but I think it will get interested people into the cinemas, I hope.
Good. Well, definitely a film worth watching. That is Glassland. It's directed by Gérard Barrett, and you can find it on big end screens near you fairly soon. And now to finish the show, we're going to look at Christian Levering's Danish-American Western that tells a classic domino effect tale of revenge and good versus evil. We have Delarue, the baddie, who's held an entire village hostage until they give up the killer of his brother. The killer is John, a Danish ex-soldier in America who is seeking revenge for the murder of his family. Let's hear a clip from the film first.
Where's my brother?
Mr. Delarue, I can assure you, it ain't nobody from around here.
I will give you 2 hours to find the man that did this.
That's impossible.
Or you bring me two of your people.
I'm innocent, please don't!
A Western by a Dane. Does it work? Does it feel different when a Danish filmmaker makes a Western?
Yes and no. I mean, in many ways, this wears its influences on its sleeves. It's clearly very influenced by American Westerns and plays homage to them. And in that way, I think it does it very, very well. But what's nice is that you do have an outsider as the hero. And Mads Mikkelsen, what a tremendous actor, known to many as Le Chiffre from the Bond movies, but also, you know, The Hunt and many great Danish films. He's absolutely terrific. He's this very steely hero who will stop at nothing, and of course he's a sharpshooter. So, you know, there are very many Western kind of tropes involved and used throughout, and stylistically and visually it feels very familiar, but in the best possible way, in the way that you sort of remember sitting with your feet up, you know, in your youth and watching on a quiet Sunday, you know, a classic Western. It's got that feel to it.
Well, you know, it does seem to be telling a very similar story to Westerns that have unraveled in the past and fairly recently. But what makes it different? What is it? What is the story, first off? We've summarized a little bit, but...
Well, it is a familiar story, but you have the settler, the outsider, the Danish guy who is coming to set up a new life. He's just met up with his wife and son for the first time in around 5 years. Tragically, they are taken from him by robbers who kill them. And then he, of course, then goes after revenge. But that's only half the story. In fact, it's the beginning of the story. He then incurs the wrath of a local outlaw, played rather menacingly by Jeffrey Dean Morgan, who, of course, is terrorising a frontier town, and all the cowardly residents are sort of kowtowing to him. But, you know, Mads Mikkelsen is not going to have any of that. So it's basically the outlaw against the hero. It is classic stuff, and of course, you know, it could be really cliched, but there's something oddly restrained about the direction and quite subtle as well. And it's visually strong. I think, you know, the fight choreography is great. I'm someone that can get bored in fights, but I thought this was all really well done. Eva Green, we always love to see. She has a strong role, although she's literally had her tongue cut out. This is one of her... This is not great for women characters or for speaking parts. This, I must say, it is a man's movie, but, you know, as a man-centric movie, but I still enjoyed it as a woman.
People have been talking about this and some of the Westerns that have come in the past couple of years as revisionist Westerns. What do they really mean? Is there a kind of a modern Western? Is there something stylistically different or thematically different?
It is a term that's bandied around a lot, isn't it? Mm. I think, you know, it's the idea of bringing new ideas and or new characters that we wouldn't have seen in the past, or of course new stars. This to me feels both fresh and familiar, if such a thing is possible. I would be cautious to use the word revisionist because I think it is slightly overused, but I just think it's a thoroughly enjoyable, fairly traditional Western with a modern spin.
Quite violent. And some of the reviews have been talking about ketchup blood. How do the special effects work in this film?
I think they're credible. I mean, they're not the most disgusting thing you'll see. You know, as a film critic, I've seen horror films that are far, far worse. I think with the Westerns, and I think with the period setting, there is a sense of distance. And personally, I find it quite uncomfortable when I watch a lot of these Liam Neeson films, you know, when they're sort of shooting first, asking questions later, and well, there's all this collateral damage. And I don't particularly get on with those films. And actually, when you look on the face of it, this film is very, very similar. But something about the fantasy setting makes it somehow more acceptable to me, rightly or wrongly.
I'm wondering who a modern Western appeals to. What is the audience for this film, do you think?
I think young people that perhaps weren't even reared on Westerns, you know, discovering it for the first time, but also those who remember them fondly. I think it's quite canny because it can, you know, potentially appeal to quite a large market, although I'm not sure it's got the budget to really go big. But I would certainly recommend it.
And the film was shot in South Africa. How does South Africa double for the American Midwest?
Pretty well. I mean, it's very arid and hot and lots of flies, so it seems to work pretty well. Yeah, I mean, it's beautifully shot, I must say. It's a good-looking film. And feels credible within that fantastical world. Yeah.
Well, another film to check out. The Salvation played in the film festival circuit last year and is now out in cinemas around the world. And that brings us to the end of today's show. Anna Smith, thank you very much for joining us. You've been listening to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Gillian DeBias. My producer was Holly Fisher. Join us again same time tomorrow when we'll be talking through this week's books with Parul Segal from the New York Times. Until then, goodbye from me and thanks for listening.